Well, the elections are almost upon us. I've got some spiritual insights for us today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The election is being rigged by corrupt media pushing false allegations and outright lies in an effort to elect Hillary Clinton president.
According to a report on Politico.com, 41% of voters say the election could be, quote, stolen from Donald Trump. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Oh, we've got a lot to talk about. Just flew in from Newark, New Jersey this morning, and surprisingly delightful weather at this time of the year. It's still summer, technically, but the elections will be here in, 3 weeks and 1 day. And I want to do my best to give you some spiritual perspective, some insights on what's happening, and to talk through the issues with you. Number to call to join the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I asked this question on Twitter. I've gotten 778 votes so far. Do you believe the elections are, quote, rigged in some way, and that there is a conspiratorial attempt to see Hillary elected? 65% of my Twitter followers who responded said yes. 23% said no. 12% said not sure. Now, my Twitter followers are overwhelmingly conservative and overwhelmingly not in favor of Hillary, but I'd say that only 50% maybe are real strong Trump people, and at least 50% would have much rather seen another candidate. But that is interesting. And according to Geraldo Rivera, not exactly a diehard conservative, he said, I have never seen the mainstream media be so partisan. There are a lot of things I want to talk with you about today, but I also want to discuss this issue. Is there some kind of fix in? Is there real danger of voter fraud? Is that how the Democrats always win? Or is that no more truthful than a Martian conspiracy or something like that? And what about the media? I would have much more respect for the liberal media if the liberal media was open and honest about its bias. In fact, let's see here. JJ, grab clip number 7. This is Sunday's Today show, and this is New York City, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani discussing the issues of media bias.
What I do think is very, very unfair is the media coverage of the election, in which anything said about Donald Trump goes right to the front. You stay on it for 5 days, stay on it for 6 days. And Hillary Clinton says horrible things about Catholics, evangelicals. She says,
we
I say one thing in
Mr.
private.
Mr. Mayor, we've covered all those. Respectfully, Hallie Jackson just did an entire segment on the WikiLeaks. We've covered them on this show.
Not with the same intensity.
And by the way, the WikiLeaks emails are available to the public. Anybody can read them.
But people don't unless it's pushed on them. And if you look at the New York Times, he's up here, she's down here.
Yeah, I don't doubt that part for a second. I don't doubt the extreme liberal bias of the New York Times or the Washington Post or CNN or MSNBC or ABC or CBS or NBC. It'd just be better if they were open and honest about it. It'd just be better if they said, yeah, we are all in for Hillary Clinton. We are all in to oppose Donald Trump. Just say it. Look, is Sean Hannity hiding the fact that he is biased towards Donald Trump? Does anyone think you're getting impartial news there, at least when you go to Breitbart or Drudge, these right-wing sites? Does anyone give the pretension there? We are just being fair and balanced. No, they are clearly strongly right-wing conservative. If the New York Times and these others would just say what everybody knows, yeah, we're in the tank for Hillary Clinton. I don't mean they're getting paid off, but their politics, their biases are clear enough, and they're pushing things as if they're giving impartial news. That's what concerns me.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I have no doubt but that the vast majority of the media believes sincerely that Donald Trump is the lesser of the two candidates. And they are campaigning, crusading Absolutely. Against him. I have no doubt that there's a sincere motivation from their point of view.
Yes, so that's Geraldo Rivera. Yeah, the left-wing media, the vast majority of the mainstream media, obviously is against Donald Trump. But that does not give them the right to report unfairly or to report in biased ways unless they say, we want to make clear, this is our position, this is where we're coming from, these are our values, and then they put it out. 866-348-7884, number to call. Do you think that there is a conspiracy to rob Donald Trump of the elections? Let's just say that he could win. Let's just say that enough Americans would vote for him. Is there a conspiratorial effort to stop him from being elected, either with voter fraud or with collusion between the media and Clinton campaign or other groups where things are done behind the scenes, perhaps in illegal ways? Do you think so? Again, 866-348-7884. I wrote an article over the weekend that has taken off. It's really gotten a lot of attention and gone viral. It is Christian conservatives be assured that President Hillary Clinton will declare war on you. Now, I'm going to explain more about that in a moment, and I'm going to give some pros and cons regarding Donald Trump in a moment as well. But when it comes to the coverage of WikiLeaks, and I mentioned that in my article, the release of emails from John Podesta. John Podesta, who is the chairman of the 2016 Hillary Clinton presidential campaign. He previously served as chief of staff to President Bill Clinton and counselor to President Barack Obama. So he is as high level an insider as you get, as high profile and influential Democratic insider as you get. High powered, obviously super well connected. So his emails have been released in correspondence he's had with other people within the campaign, and they are utterly damning. I guarantee you, if these had been emails from Trump's campaign manager or previous campaign manager or someone very close to Trump, the media would be on this day and night. They wouldn't even be talking about the sexual comments on the tape or the allegations that have come against Donald Trump. They wouldn't even be mentioning that. That would be utterly immaterial. I mean, the insults towards Catholics and other conservative Christians. I mean, could you imagine? And vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine says nothing to apologize for. Where is the media? Why aren't they all over this day and night in reporting the latest scandal? Because they don't want it to be reported. Because that's not the major news to them. Because that's anti-Hillary news that makes her look very, very bad. So one of the most damning revelations, and again, this should be shouted from the rooftops. This should be absolutely shouted from the rooftops, that John Podesta was upset when he found out that the San Bernardino killer, the man involved in the San Bernardino massacre, was a Muslim. He was hoping it was some, you know, white American guy that would have been better for the narrative. What? I mean, this is absolutely, utterly outrageous and should be shouted from the rooftops by all media that cares to get truth out, but does it? No. Now, here's the other theory. I heard this during the primaries, and I poo-pooed it. I mean, I had a question mark in the back of my head, but I poo-pooed it because I don't go a lot for conspiracy theories, only because they could be endless and infinite without any evidence, without any facts. And I've I've heard enough conspiratorial theories and things that I was personally aware of that I knew were totally false. Totally false. So I am very careful not to just believe these things, even if it makes you wonder, because it's too easy to believe myths, all right? And then you never get the substantiation for them. And then, you know, look, are there problems with Hillary Clinton's health? Could be. Now, I don't mean to laugh about this, but Donald Trump has called for drug testing before the next debate. I mean, they do this before fights, you know, to make sure the athletes are not juicing. They're not using illegal drugs to get competitive advantage. They do this in sports, to, you know, the Olympic Games and you know, just regular professional sports to make sure the athletes aren't getting an unfair competitive advantage. Donald Trump wants there to be drug testing before the next debate. Are there potentially legitimate health issues with Hillary Clinton? Could be. But I've watched some videos. Like, look, well, this, she's got like a lazy eye. Look, if you look at this, you see, she's listening to someone. She has the well-known habit of nodding her head as she listens to a reporter's question, but she's nodding too much. It looks like Parkinson's. And I'm looking at this like, you're talking about grasping at straws. So I am not just going to believe the latest conspiratorial theory, okay? But during the primaries, the theory was that liberal media was giving Donald Trump massive free advertising, massive free airtime, millions if not billions of dollars worth. And the coverage on Trump would be 10 to 1, sometimes 50 to 1, all of the other candidates combined. And the theory that was put forth then, people mentioned it to me, was that the secular media is doing this because they want Trump to win. And there is now evidence from the Podesta emails, from the Hillary campaign emails that have been released, that yes, they want it. They wanted the media to put forth either Trump, Cruz or Carson, because they thought those would be the three easiest for Hillary to beat. And that overwhelmingly the media gave free coverage to Trump. I mean, you remember you put on CNN and there'd be like a half hour speech of Trump and they just play the whole thing without interruption. You think, I'd never seen anything like that happen with any candidate. And the theory was that they were doing that to prop him up so that once he was propped up, then Hillary would be able to defeat him. And that was the whole plan, that the same media that would build him up would later destroy him. Now, I was curious about that, but not inclined to believe it just because of my disposition towards conspiracy theories. But to be honest, as I've watched things unfold, you have to wonder. You really have to wonder. 866-34-TRUTH. And I want to come back to some important insights, spiritual insights in a moment. Let's go to Silver Springs. We were going to Silver Springs. In fact, our phone lines were jammed, but we've got some openings. 866-348-7884. Yeah, another WikiLeaks example, Podesta email, Hillary campaign. Dozens of journalists were invited to an off-the-record dinner. So is that where they get their talking points? Is that where they get their strategies? Is that where, you know, this is, again, friends, if it was Donald Trump who was doing these things, his campaign was doing these things, the secular media would be all over him. This would be headline coverage day and night, day and night, day and night. I remember when I lived in Washington, D.C., and our congregation was active in the pro-life movement. And anniversary of Roe v. Wade, normally be very, very cold, January, third week of January, very, very cold day. And we were watching the news, and it was the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and there'd be a massive pro-life march in D.C., massive. I mean, several hundred thousand people. This was every year without fail. And we're watching the news one day to see how it's covered in all the local news. And sure enough, it's not the first item on the 11 o'clock news or the second or the third. It's reserved for the end of the show, kind of a throwaway story. And not reserved for the end of the show because it's the big news and they want you to wait and they keep announcing it. No, this was kind of throwaway. And then they did not show any crowd pictures. They did not give any numbers. Instead, they interviewed a couple of pro-life people and a couple of protesters, giving the idea that it was about equally attended as opposed to maybe a quarter of a million pro-life marchers and 20 protesters. Bias, bias, bias. Yes, social engineering. Okay, it's not on the level of, say, North Korea, where the people have no access to the facts, but you talk about putting forth misinformation and giving wrong impressions. That's what happens. It's scary. Thankfully, we've got internet and other things, but how long is there going to be freedom there? Hey, these are legitimate questions. I'm not paranoid, but it's curious, at the very least. Ugly, at the most.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If it were not for Fox News and a handful of right-wing websites like Drudge or Breitbart a bit more extreme.
And talk radio.
And AM talk radio, which really started. Now you give, you know, people on one side of the other side of the political spectrum at least someplace where they can go.
Yeah, so again, there are other alternatives to the, quote, mainstream media. And if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, if you go to Fox News, if you go to Breitbart.com or Drudge.com, you know that you're going to conservative sites or conservative radio or TV stations with varying degrees of conservatism. Fox, in certain ways, if you go across the board there, might be less conservative than, say, Rush, and then less conservative, certainly, than Drudge or Breitbart. But you know what you're getting there. Whereas you go to the others, and it's supposedly just... Oh, and look, Fox may claim to be unbiased as well. But for the most part, you know what you're getting. When you go to these others, no, we're just reporting the news. New York Times, we're just reporting the news. Right. Sure. Here, I'll give you an example of something else. JJ, grab clip number 8. There was a firebombing over the weekend in Hillsborough, North Carolina. And this was a GOP headquarter building. It was firebombed. All right. And this was written, spray painted graffiti reading, "Nazi Republicans, get out of town or else." OK, a GOP executive director, Dallas Woodhouse, said the office itself is a total loss. The only thing important to us is that nobody was killed, and they very well could have been. Now, this is horrific. All right. And of course, it's renounced by Hillary Clinton, and there's a GoFundMe page started by Democrats saying, hey, this is not who we are, this is not what we do. But nonetheless, this was an attack on Republican headquarters, and this is what was written, "Nazi Republicans, get out of town or else." So this is Brian Stelter, CNN's newsroom yesterday. Listen to what he has to say.
So the Arizona Republic getting so many death threats over an endorsement is an example of how overheated the rhetoric is. Another example out of North Carolina today, the firebombing of a local GOP office. Yeah. We have no idea who's done this. We don't know if it's a Republican, a Democrat, a movement. No idea. Could be some sort of extremist, some sort of radical. Hopefully we'll get more information soon. But that kind of action is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And we need to have the temperature come down on all sides right now. Unfortunately, Donald Trump is the lead in terms of raising the temperature at this moment in time.
Oh, hang on. So basically, Donald Trump is responsible for the firebombing because he has come with this horrific rhetoric. Now, I understand the argument that it is the rhetoric of Donald Trump that has provoked this type of reaction and this level of hostility in America. The flip side, you could say, this proves that Donald Trump's rhetoric is justified because you have these ugly extreme forces in America. Either way, we as God's people must lead the way in speaking the truth. Yes, sounding the alarm, but doing it with wisdom and doing it with love for those with whom we differ and doing it with respect within the body in the midst of our differences. Otherwise, we will bite and devour ourselves, let alone set a negative example for the nation. All right, let's go to the phones. We go to Rosa in Brooklyn. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call. These are not conspiracy theories. We know it's a fact. Now, according to WikiLeaks, what the Democrats have been behind, and I don't mean just Hillary, I mean the whole Democrat and also the left media, they purposely did to Donald Trump, thinking that he was going to be the one to be. But let me just say one thing. I want to make an observation. When Obama was running, I was still a Democrat, a registered Democrat, and I voted for him thinking that he was the weaker one, that he was going to be the one to lose. And it happened that he won, in spite of everybody else. Okay, I am now a Republican, and I'm not going to vote for Hillary, not because of anything else, but as a professional, and I consider myself intelligent, I cannot vote for a woman that has those kind of a background, and my faith will not allow me to vote for her either. I will vote. I'm not going to stay home. Also, these conspiracy theories are facts. They did it on purpose. They are now demonizing him because they don't want him to win, but they see that he could win. Okay? But now they're doing their best to try not to make him win and to have her and her New World Order, everything else is shared. We know for sure that, imagine, they are behind the scenes, they're trying to destroy our Christian faith.
Let me just jump in and say this, Rosa, because I've got a break coming up. It seems unavoidable to say that some of the same media that helped prop up Donald Trump is trying to destroy him now. They help prop him up. They help prop him up to win the primaries, and they're trying to tear him down to lose the election. It seems hard to deny that. Let's just say the hostility they have towards him now was not the hostility they had towards him then. The type of coverage coming his way now is not the type of coverage that was coming his way then. Now look, it had been Ted Cruz. They were negative on Cruz back then. They'd be more negative on him now. There wouldn't be a flip-flop. Follow? They were hostile to him and reporting him negatively then, and they do it all the more now. That at least would be consistent. When it comes to Hillary Clinton, thank you for the call, Rosa. And thank you for your integrity. I don't mean that it's integrity to go from Democrat to Republican, but that you had to follow your conscience wherever it led you. So thank you. Look, yesterday was it the 100th anniversary or the 100th birthday of Planned Parenthood? People said, yeah, there's 7 million babies that never had a birthday because of Planned Parenthood. Staggering. And remember what Hillary Clinton said. It's in my article. Just go to thelineoffire.org and look for my latest article. Don't forget that Hillary Clinton said 2015 that deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. This is Hillary Clinton, 2015. And already in 2011, she put pressure on Africa and other nations. You have to change your views on homosexuality if you want American support, or else. As I say at the end of my article, that if you vote for Hillary Clinton, that you are handing her the tape to gag your mouths and the rope to fasten your hands. I hold to that clearly, and it's in writing. Be forewarned. You have been forewarned. All right, special programming note. Tomorrow, non-charismatic call-in day. Maybe you heard my interview with Pastor Bill Johnson. Maybe you're not charismatic Pentecostal, question certain things, wonder about certain things, even hostile to certain things. Tomorrow is your day to call in. We've also got brand new videos up in our digital library, so go to thelineoffire.org, click on the digital library, check out the free resources waiting for you.
These words are definitely worth considering. Being virtuous does not always demand a heavy sacrifice. but it does demand the willingness to make a sacrifice when one is needed. In other words, doing the right thing doesn't always cost a lot, but sometimes it does. And in those moments, sacrifice is absolutely required. It's like when Jesus Christ came to earth. The only way human beings could be redeemed from sin was for Christ to sacrifice himself, which he did. Our sacrifices for others are small compared to his, but important nonetheless. If you are called on to make a sacrifice today for others, do the right thing. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's sacrifice on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. My joy to be with you on the broadcast today. Just looking at an article on, let's see, publicintegrity.org, the Center for Public Integrity. And according to this report, this is just 2.5 hours ago, posted by Dave Leventhal, journalists shower Hillary Clinton with campaign cash. Far fewer making contributions to Donald Trump. Now, this is perfectly legal. There's nothing illegal in this, but it just shows you where these journalists are leaning, where these people stand. You say, well, look, conservatives just need to infiltrate these networks. And easier said than done. Easier said than done. What we can do is amplify our voices every way we have, every way we have access to. Amplify my voice on radio. Amplify my voice in writing. We can do that. Other voices be amplified to get truth out, encourage more people to look independently and search and research for themselves. And in fact, a large percentage of Americans today do not trust the media. And that's broadly stated, do not trust the media. So, that being said, it does not lessen the fact that people still get bombarded with certain things and that most people are not motivated enough to check out everything for themselves and to say, is this fair coverage? Is this unbiased coverage? So if you just keep hearing things being slopped on and muddied constantly, that's going to skew your perspective. So according to this article, New Yorker television critic Evelyn Nussbaum, a newly minted Pulitzer Prize winner, spent the Republican National Convention pen-pricking presidential nominee Donald Trump as a misogynist shyster running, quote, an ugly and xenophobic campaign. What Nussbaum didn't disclose in her dispatches, she contributed $250 to Democrat Hillary Clinton in April. Now, that's just $250, but it's zero to Trump. In other words, she wants Hillary Clinton to win. Is she allowed to do that? Of course. Of course. It's just overwhelmingly, the point is, and you'll find the same thing with universities. Overwhelmingly, the secular universities, the donations go to Democrats. Why? Because they are overwhelmingly liberal. So they are overwhelmingly biased in that way in who they are. That's their worldview. That's their mindset. You say, well, conservatives would be biased too. How about a balance? How's that? That's fine. We each have our biases. We do our best to be honest and objective, but we're human beings. We have our convictions. We have our viewpoints. We have our experiences, our backgrounds. So sure, there's going to be bias, but let's just have it when you go to college that half the professors see things one way, the other half the other way, or that a third one way, a third, you know, kind of neutral, and a third the other way, as opposed to 70 or 80 or 90% coming from one perspective, especially in some fields. Or 5-1 or 3-1 or 2-1 at the least coming from a perspective that would be anti-conservative. Yeah, that's the reality. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, and Thanks for the reminder, Matt. The Center for Public Integrity won the 2014 Pulitzer Prize. And the headline is Buying of the President 2016. So this is, and it's Dave Leventhal and Michael Beckel reporting this. We come back. I want to give you the basic conservative argument for voting for Donald Trump, and then a conservative argument for not voting for Donald Trump. I want to get to both perspectives when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Before I give you basic conservative argument for why vote for Donald Trump versus why not vote for Donald Trump, again, both conservative arguments. Feel free to weigh in, 866-348-7884. I want you to hear this. This is Fox News, Christian Fisher, JJ, clip number four. And this is about campaign director for Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, lamenting that it was a Muslim, not some American Caucasian, who was named as a killer in the 2015 San Bernardino massacre. Clip number four.
Another email that's really raising some eyebrows has to do with Podesta's response to the San Bernardino terror attack. Someone sent Podesta this tweet from MSNBC's Chris Hayes, which read, NBC News now reporting a U.S. citizen named Saeed Farouk believed to be one of the people involved in the shooting, to which Podesta responded, better if a guy named Saeed Farouk was reporting that a guy named Christopher Hayes was the shooter. So there you have one of Clinton's top aides lamenting the fact that the shooter had a Muslim name.
Yeah, this is outrageous. Again, revealed by WikiLeaks. This is giant news. You tell me that if this was the Trump campaign, that there would not be calls for Podesta's resignation. And this is one example out of scores of horrific things in the campaign and the demeaning of other groups and conservative Catholics and so on. And there wouldn't be howls across the nation, outrage, calling for his resignation, calling for Hillary Clinton to immediately denounce him. I mean, listen, Ted Cruz basically had to insist that one of his senior guys step down after passing on something that allegedly made Marco Rubio look bad, a biblical comment, or as if Marco Rubio was dissing scripture, was actually the exact opposite, and because he forwarded that, and there was, like, I think one other thing he did, Ted Cruz had to ask him to step down, and I felt he had to at that point for integrity's sake. What Podesta's done is 10 times worse, 100 times worse, and over and over and over. The Cruz guy made an innocent error, as far as I could tell. He believed a video with captions, and it was mistaken. But again, double standards, Now, let me give you another example of double standards, okay? Another example of double standards. And here's on the flip side. Conservatives absolutely outraged over Bill Clinton's immorality. I mean, in the White House, come on, in the White House. I mean, literally, physically, in the White House. He did some of the things he did, then lied about it, right? And outrageous. By the way, I'm not condemning him. May he find mercy at the foot of the cross. I'm just talking about the moral outrage among conservatives, and I was one of the ones outraged and thinking, how can this man be president? This is degrading for the whole nation. And it did have a degrading effect, sexually and other ways, as like, hey, anything goes, and Europe, as liberal as it is, Europe's looking like, what's the big deal? He's a good president. Everybody has affairs. I mean, that's how hardened much of Europe was already. But now when people are grieved over allegations, sexual allegations with Donald Trump, the same Christians who are grieved over them, other Christians say, well, you're just being Pharisaical. You're just being religious. Oh, we weren't being Pharisaical and religious when we had a problem with Bill Clinton's infidelities. But now with accusations of Donald Trump's infidelities and certainly horrific things he said about women, that we're being Pharisaical and religious and trying to cast the first stone. I mean, talk about double standards. Either we were right then and we're right now, or we were wrong then and we're wrong now. But don't get outraged then and now outraged that people are outraged now. Well, you're just religious. No, what that means is we got party affiliation that's more important than anything. That's what it means, that we see through colored glasses, that we're so pro-Democrat or we're so pro-Republican or we're so pro our position that we have double standards. And that's one way to spot bias. Honestly, you got to look at your own life like that. That when you treat others differently because you don't like them, then you treat people you do like. I'll give you an example. You hear an accusation against your pastor. He was caught in adultery. He said, no, he's a man of God. It's not true. My family knows it for years. No, of course it's not true. It'll all pan out. It's not true. Then you hear an accusation that some TV preacher that you don't like is caught in adultery. Like, yeah, I knew it. Oh, wait. Double standard. You don't have any more evidence about the one than the other. All you have was hearsay about both. But one you defended, the other you condemned. Why? Personal preference. Now, it's one thing to say, hey, I know this person well. I can't see that being true. And this other person, I don't know. I mean, it could be. I hope it's not true, but it could be. I don't know him. That's fair. Once you say, I know the person, the other I don't know. Or to say, look, the way this other person preaches and they don't preach about sin and they're so loosey-goosey on this and I've had my questions for years, I wouldn't be surprised. But we so easily defend the ones we like and condemn the ones we don't like. That's not righteous. That's not righteous. Am I making sense? By the way, I'm not trying to please anybody or win somebody's vote of, we like your show. I'm trying to honor the Lord and speak truth and help us in the midst of this election season to be righteous. Now, Saul Anuzis, if I'm pronouncing his name incorrectly, forgive me, Saul. He was one of the leaders in the Ted Cruz campaign and is now a supporter of Donald Trump, but he absolutely was not originally a supporter of Donald Trump. But he says this is real basic to him. This is in an email, and his website is Saul's Newsstand. If Hillary Clinton wins, Clinton will continue Obama's policies dragging our country down. Clinton supports open borders and amnesty for illegal immigrants. Clinton does not respect the sanctity of life. Clinton is an avid supporter of gun control. Clinton will appoint 2 to 3 Supreme Court justices with the goal of moving the court to the left. Clinton will appoint 250-plus lifetime federal judges to the bench across this country. That's big. We don't talk about that much. 250-plus lifetime federal judges to the bench across this country. Clinton will, quote, fix and expand Obamacare, costing working Americans even more. Clinton will continue the Obama-Clinton foreign policy, which has made America weaker and less safe. Clinton does not support religious liberty. Then Saul says, if Donald Trump wins, Trump will shake up Washington for better or for worse. Trump will build a wall and attack the illegal immigrant problem. Trump has taken a pro-life stance. Trump has the NRA's endorsement and supports the Second Amendment. Trump has named respected conservative judges that are on his list for the Supreme Court. Trump has conservative lawyers advising him on appointments and policy. Trump has vowed to repeal and replace Obamacare. Trump will make America militarily strong again. Trump gets the left's attacks on religious liberty and will support the principle of religious liberty. He says, okay, so you say, what if he doesn't do everything he says, or I just don't trust him? Well, maybe. Is he a flawed man and a sinner? Sure, but who isn't? However, this is about leading our country and settling the policies that will affect generations to come. We know exactly what Hillary will do, and it's the opposite of what virtually all of us believe in, speaking of conservatives. With Trump, he has laid out policies most of us agree with, minus his demeanor, and even if he's not 100% there is no doubt Trump will be better than Clinton on virtually every policy. Most importantly, Trump's judicial appointments will not be the same as Clinton's left-wing activists that would change our country for decades to come. It's really that simple. He says a protest vote for some third party or a non-vote by a Republican conservative voter who would have normally voted Republican is helping elect Hillary Clinton president, period. That's a political and mathematical fact. For the sake of country, think long and hard, and I encourage you to vote Trump. So this, again, is Saul Anousis, who was one of the leaders in the Cruz campaign. His website is saulsnewsstand.com. Are there conservative reasons, valid conservative or biblical Christian reasons not to vote for Trump? I'm going to come back to that on the other side of the break. Are there biblical Christian principles by which we should vote for Hillary? I say no. I know some other Christians have argued for it. I dogmatically, wholeheartedly say no. Capital N, capital O. If that offends you, I'm sorry. I'm sharing my deep conviction. Are there biblical conservative reasons not to vote for Trump? I think there are. Let me share them on the other side of the break.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I didn't have a chance to get to this yet in the first hour. I may get to it more in the second hour. You can always catch all of the broadcast by going to thelineoffire.org. You can subscribe to the podcast for free. You can listen online live for the full 2 hours if you miss any, or you can just go to the website later in the day. Within a few hours of the broadcast, we are online. The show is posted. Again, it's free thanks to the generosity of our supporters. That is thelineoffire.org. But here's a major story. I don't know how much you're going to see it on the liberal sites. In fact, I'll check a few of these as we go and see if it's being reported. But on the conservative sites like Breitbart and Drudge and others, it's being shouted from the rooftops. There is a video that has been released by James O'Keefe's Project Veritas, Veritas being truth, of course. Video sting, Democrats' effort to incite violence at Trump rallies. We're starting anarchy here. Campaign fully into it. According to this, there are individuals or organizations that are in daily contact with the Clinton campaign, and supposedly the video reveals this. I've just read the reports. I haven't seen it, and then I've been able to check into the claims. But that if you see some violence, something starting up at a Trump campaign, that it looks like a Trump supporter is getting violent towards someone, or a Trump supporter is creating an uproar or stir, that those are actually plants and that this is fully supported by the Clinton campaign. Now, again, major accusations. Is it a smoking gun? Is this some major news that the secular media even reported, the liberal media? That's another question. But I'm looking here. Let's see. CNN. Nope. CNN, there's no report of this on CNN that I can see. Let's try MSNBC and see there. MSNBC and anything there. I'm certainly not expecting. Now here's my point. Here's my point about the journalism. It's one thing to report and say we are still awaiting evidence. It's another thing. Here, look at MSNBC. Donald Trump is underperforming Mitt Romney, debunking Trump's, quote, rigged claims, and on and on. But none of this. There's one story number seven. What does the latest WikiLeaks dump reveal? That's story number seven. Okay. But is there a conservative argument to not vote for Donald Trump? I say, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Now, I'm not necessarily endorsing this, but I understand it. I do understand it. And here's the argument. it goes like this. It's not just a matter of appointing the right Supreme Court justices. Yeah, Donald Trump may do that, and even federal justices, and Hillary Clinton won't. And that's massive. But that Donald Trump has the potential of degrading the entire country. This is the conservative argument, the Christian argument against voting for Donald Trump. That the campaign has been so degraded. Remember, it was candidate Trump in the primaries boasting about his manhood during a debate. You think this is a presidential debate, that everything gets so debased that the whole culture could be dragged down. And that with that, you have someone who is so quick to let things get under his skin and so quick to respond on a personal level. If he hasn't stopped doing it potentially an inch away from the presidency, what makes us think that he would have a different tone, different demeanor, different behavior, that he would speak differently if he was the president? So there's the concern of having someone volatile, someone who could so easily lose his cool. What happens if he does that with another foreign leader? What happens if he's now sending out tweets attacking, leader of China or leader of Mexico? You say, well, no, he'd really be a statesman then. I would hope so, but I was hoping he would have been a statesman by now. The fact that in the last few weeks he gets into a Twitter battle about a former Miss Universe contestant or Miss Universe winner, or that he gets into a Twitter battle about Saturday Night Live skit about the second debate this past Saturday night. You think, no, you don't want to be doing that, sir. And look, you got to understand, I'll say it publicly. I've written it publicly. I'm rooting for him. In other words, I want him to really, I know the clock is ticking, but I'm praying that he will really listen to the godly counsel around him, okay? And I'm praying for that, okay? That he would listen to the godly counsel around him, that he would really hear it and receive it and take it to heart, that he would humble himself, that he would control himself. Because I would like to vote for him. I can't vote for Hillary Clinton. I'd like to be able to vote for him. So I'm not here to attack him or to be hostile towards him or to seek to drag him down, okay? That's not the goal. But I fully understand why other believers say I can't vote for him in conscience, and I've got to respect that, okay? I'm going to challenge you if you say you're a Christian and vote for Hillary Clinton. Yes, I will challenge you on that. Just being candid, all right? We can have an honest discussion before the Lord and both get down on our knees and say, God, show us our blind spots. Show us what we're missing. Show us where we're wrong. Show us where we're right. But I do respect and understand why many Christians say, look, I just can't vote for Donald Trump. Isn't pride a major, major issue in God's sight? Isn't recklessness with the tongue a major, major issue? What if you have someone that could be volatile, that could make a decision about nuclear codes? You say, but he wouldn't do that. Oh, okay, I don't think he would either. But I'm sure people are telling him, stop the tweeting, just stop. Don't respond. Saturday Night Live did a skit. Either say, hey, funny skit, or don't say anything. No, don't say this during the debate. No, don't do that. So the fact that he has not shown that restraint is a point for real concern. Hence, people saying, what would happen as president? He could be destructive in other ways. Now, Wednesday, I'm going to have Lance Wallnau come on, spend a whole hour with us. He's written the book, God's Chaos Candidate. He'll have an answer for everything I've raised. But we're going to put it on the table for you today to prayerfully consider and work through. Remember to check out our brand new videos and articles on thelineoffire.org. And we're extending our special resource offer from last week as well. My bottom line today, clear lines are being drawn in the sand, but we, the people of God, must have clarity more than anyone. Well, the elections are almost upon us. I've got some spiritual insights for us today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire on this Monday. Flew in from Newark, New Jersey a few hours ago and delighted to be with you. Had a great time ministering in Zarephath, New Jersey. I don't know if I've been there before. All right, here's the number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, to join in the discussion today. According to the respected conservative journalist, author, thinker, Thomas Sowell. According to Thomas Sowell, what Donald Trump said is bad. All right, so no diminishing that, no lessening that, no whitewashing that. According to Thomas Sowell, yes, what Donald Trump has said is indefensible, but what Hillary Clinton has done is much worse. The article, October 11th, published on National Review, headlined, "Hillary Clinton's actions are worse than Donald Trump's words." And he says, "Trump's offenses do not make Clinton the better candidate because her actions have harmed Americans and her policies are dangerous. Donald Trump's gutter talk about women shows yet again that he is bad news. The problem is that Hillary Clinton is far worse. Donald Trump's talk is indefensible," he says, "but Hillary Clinton's actions as Secretary of State carrying out the Obama administration's foreign policies have cost many lives in many places, including the American ambassador and others killed in Benghazi." Now you add to that the email scandal, which within the FBI has caused outrage because she was not prosecuted. The ongoing scandal being revealed in the WikiLeaks dump, which keeps showing horrific emails from John Podesta, the campaign manager of Hillary Clinton, and others in close to the campaign. There's enough going on. Her policies in terms of abortion, her policies concerning homosexuality, leading me to write an article over the weekend. If you haven't read it yet, I encourage you to. Christian conservatives, be assured that President Hillary Clinton will declare war on you. These things would justify what Thomas Sowell is saying. And again, I don't doubt the overall accuracy of what he's saying. I'm just sympathetic to those who say, maybe true, but I still can't vote for Donald Trump. And then someone urged me today, "Dr. Brown, if you don't encourage everyone to vote for Donald Trump, that is a vote for Hillary Clinton." Well, let me tell you where I differ with that, although I take seriously what was urged on me to consider. But here's where I differ with it. If you were planning on voting for Hillary Clinton and you read one of my articles discouraging that, or you heard me passionately arguing against voting for Hillary Clinton on the air, and you were thinking of voting for her so you don't vote at all, then that's one less vote for Hillary Clinton. Follow? So if someone's thinking about voting for her, and there's certainly many Christians who are, just as many Christians voted for Barack Obama, and my arguments stop you from voting for her, even if you don't vote for Donald Trump, now what I have helped do is reduce the number of votes for Hillary Clinton. Now, let God be God, and let America get what's coming. And some say whoever's elected, it's divine judgment. But I want to urge you to at least go before God in the fear of God and say, "Father, does my vote count? And which way do you want it to go?" What if Trump was elected president? What would happen to the church? What if Hillary was elected president? What would happen to the church? Stay tuned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for being part of the broadcast today, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, let me put out a question. I put out in the first hour, only got to a call or two dealing with it, but let me put this question out for you, all right? Do you believe that in some way the elections are rigged, as Donald Trump has alleged? Here's the exact way that I posed it on Twitter. Do you believe the elections are rigged, and I put rigged in quotes, rigged in some way, and that there is a conspiratorial attempt to see Hillary elected? 66% said yes, 23% said no, 11% said not sure. Now, out of my Twitter followers, maybe 5% at most would be voting for Hillary, maybe. So this is not a pro-Hillary crowd, but it is not overwhelmingly pro-Trump either. There's maybe many pro-Trumpers, but not overwhelmingly pro-Trump. So I find this interesting. The question I asked in the first hour, do you think there's any truth to the idea that the same liberal media that propped up Donald Trump and gave him massively disproportionate time during the primaries so that he would win is the same media seeking to tear him down? In other words, it was intentionally done. I don't think you can deny that the tone has changed. I don't think you can deny that the attitude has changed. I don't think that's in dispute. What is in dispute was it intentional from the start? Now, look, I try to give the benefit of the doubt. And as a broadcaster myself and as a writer myself, dealing with news issues and things like that, I do my best to evaluate things honestly. And yeah, I have my views. You know when you're listening to me exactly what you're going to get in that respect. And you have a pretty good idea where I'm going to land on certain issues. But if I was just conservative first, Christian second, this show would sound very, very different. If I was patriot first, follower of Jesus second, this show would sound very different. So when I see Wolf Blitzer reporting, or Jake Tapper, or whoever, Don Lemon, or whoever else it is reporting on CNN, I know where their political leanings are, and I know that they are certainly liberal, or, you know, Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. Obviously, we know these things. It's not a mystery, and they wouldn't deny them. But I'd like to give the benefit of the doubt that they are, on some level, trying to show integrity in what they're reporting. And if you challenge them, they would take it personally that, no, you're being so biased that you're not accurately reporting the news. Again, as a friend just noted on Twitter, the goal is to report the news. So here, if I have a news feed, here, let's think of this. Here, we'll use sports as an example, okay? You live in a certain city, then the vast majority of the coverage is on your local teams. That's understood. That's going to happen, right? And at the same time, when they are reporting the scores, you expect to get all the scores. All right, let's get you the latest from the NFL. And they run through the scores. So you would expect to get all the scores reported. All right, here's an injury update, and here are the stats. You'd expect to just get those facts, but there'd be more coverage on your local teams. But you wouldn't get the scores reported inaccurately, or you wouldn't get limited scores reported because you're expecting, it's just the new, it's sports news, right? And yet, when it comes to reporting the news, newscasters can choose what they want to emphasize and what they don't. Or if they don't make the choices, then the producers do, or the script writers do. Someone's making decisions about what gets filtered out. And it's undeniable that things are filtered in a heavily biased way. And you know, if you go to one network, Man, I just need a little of that perspective. You're going to get that. You go to another network, you're going to get that perspective. Do you remember when Hannity started? It was Hannity and Combs. I actually liked that because you got your viewpoints challenged. If you're a conservative, Hannity's going to lay out his points, and Combs is going to challenge him. If you're a liberal, Combs is going to lay out his choice, his points, and Hannity's going to challenge him. That, I felt, was positive. Here, this is live talk radio. Anybody who differs with me can call in. In fact, tomorrow, we're doing it in the first hour, but we may do it in the second hour as well. Tomorrow's non-charismatic call-in day. And I interviewed Pastor Bill Johnson last week, a charismatic leader. Many were critical of it. We should have been harder on him. And I said, hey, folks, we had the phones open. We encouraged his critics to call in, and they didn't. So I said, look, if you've got a question, if you're not charismatic and you question things in the movement of this teacher, that, well, by all means, we'll call in and we'll discuss it. We can do that. It's live talk. But when you're watching this on the networks, that is not the case. 866-348-7884. Chris Wallace on moderating the debate, and that's going to be Wednesday night at 8. I'm a timekeeper, not a participant. He said, you're not a participant. You're there just to make sure that they engage in the most interesting and fairest way possible, and I take it very seriously. It's not a TV show that we're doing. I hope he does well with it. The last moderators absolutely did not. Very few of the moderators through the debates have, and I'm talking about their primaries as well, have clearly been unbiased and just, we're going to put information out there and, yeah, force the candidate to respond to a question if they're not. That's fair. Or cut someone off who's going too long. Yeah, but whatever you do, do it in an even-handed way. 866-348-7884. Let's take some calls, and I've got a bunch of other things to discuss with you today. Let's go to Pineville, Kentucky. Tyler, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk. Hey, listen, I was just going to call in and say I appreciate everything you do. I'm calling from a non-Christian perspective. I'm not a Christian at all. I don't really believe in the inspiration of the Bible or anything like that. I enjoy what you do. But I was actually going to call to challenge you to vote for Trump and to encourage other people to vote for Trump. And the reason is that I believe in morality. I believe in ethics. I believe in God. And I believe that the pro-life movement, or rather, let's say the pro-abortion movement, is morally abominable. It's equal with the Holocaust, you know, 50 million abortions over the past 50 years. So anyways, I was just going to read you something from the Bible or let you consider it. Like in Exodus, when the midwives, the Pharaoh wanted to kill the midwives' children, and they lied, and they knew that they were lying. Lying is bad. Lying is, you know, bearing false witness in the Ten Commandments. But nonetheless, they chose the lesser of two evils in order to obtain a greater good. And, you know, if Adolf Hitler were running against Donald Trump, and Donald Trump, you know, wanted to stop the Holocaust, but he happened to rape people or, you know, do sexual misdemeanors in his private life, I think that we should nail him to the wall for that. But at the same time, you have to vote for that. You can. I think Jesus would say this, too. And so my question is, what do you think about that? And how could you justify not voting for Trump, given the scope of the blood and, you know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's a very strong argument. It's one of the reasons that I could well vote for Donald Trump. It's certainly the reason that from the rooftops I shout out why we cannot vote for Hillary Clinton. Again, I've got a couple.
No,
of
no,
our...
no. But I want to go a step further.
No, no. I understand.
It's immoral not to.
Right, right. So, yeah. Here, this would be the argument, the counter argument. Okay, I find it a strong argument. And it's an argument that I could easily use, all right? The counter-argument would not be Donald Trump's sexual indiscretions or sexual sins or whatever.
Or no, he did illegal words stuff. Or, there's no question about that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Just like David, right? Right? King David, who raped and killed. I mean, I would vote for David, especially if he was running on a pro-life policy, if he were running against...
I understand. Yeah, I understand.
Would you?
Well, yeah, but David is not Donald Trump, so let's not.
But he killed and he murdered. I mean, would you vote for him or not?
All right.
Well, I would, because he's going to save millions.
All right, so here's the counter argument, and I want you to stay there. I just got a couple of questions for you, if you can stay through the break. Number one, the David Trump comparison is a bad comparison to make. Yes, Trump has done wrong things. David committed horrific acts, but David, all his life, was a man after God's own heart, characterized by that, sought God earnestly, sought to please him earnestly all of his life, and then messed up terribly, and when confronted later, repented deeply. So I have a whole article on what King David could teach him. But the argument would be Trump in the White House could be so volatile and out of control that he could end up causing us to go to war with our enemies and have horrific loss of life, bloodshed, catastrophe, tragedy of another level.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. So in a moment, I want to go back to Tyler in Pineville, Kentucky, and then get to some more of your calls about the elections. But as I said at the end of the last hour, for those who heard it, here are all the arguments. I laid them out why we should vote for Donald Trump. And they're very, very strong arguments. Religious liberty is a very major one. The pro-life justices in the Supreme Court, very major one. Other things that would be very important if Trump were elected. I said, now, here are the reasons why many Christians in conscience could not vote for him. And, you know, does not God hate pride? Isn't that one of the things that he lists? There is a certain degrading of the culture that could come. Look at what's just happened in our nation. I mean, the base level of where we find ourselves, you can't even look at headlines with just the mudslinging. And a lot of it, of course, has come from the Trump campaign and Donald Trump's own tweets. Then you have, again, the volatility of things. This would be a man with the nuclear codes. What happens if we get into some unnecessary battle with China or Russia, or what could potentially happen? So that's why some Christians say, yeah, I can't vote either way. Couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton, couldn't vote for Donald Trump. I respect that. I'm urging everyone not to vote for Hillary Clinton. I might personally vote for Donald Trump. I'm certainly not going to be endorsing anyone. And that I've had a whole other article on that and reasons for that. But those would be, Tyler, the answers that many Christians would give. It's not the fact that he, you know, was a sexual sinner or whatever, or that he's married three times, but rather the person that would be in the White House could have a destructive effect on the nation as a whole, or inflame all kinds of other tensions and problems that could lead to bloodshed in the streets or bloodshed in an unnecessary war. Hence the concern about
can
about.
I, go can ahead. I ask you something?
Sure.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say I'm sorry. I just get really passionate about abortion. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. He was the last person I wanted to vote for in the primary. I voted for Ted Cruz, and largely because you supported him. I mean, I really like Ted Cruz. But I guess I bet you if Hillary Clinton were killing Jews by the millions, you would say all other issues are beside the point. Yeah, we may or may not get into war in the future. Who knows? What I do know is that they're killing Jews right now. Now, it just so happens they're not killing Jews, adult Jews. They're killing unborn, helpless, innocent babies. And they're ripping them to shreds by the millions. Like I said, 50 million. Nobody ever apologized for partial birth abortion. It just seems to me, if they were killing adults, this wouldn't even be an issue. But because they're underneath the flap of skin, all of a sudden, it's confusing to people, even in the Christian community. And just like the midwives in Egypt, just like, you know, Jesus said, if you even so much as harm a little child, may a millstone be hung around your neck. I would encourage people to vote, if nothing else, for the Supreme Court justices. You have to be proactive. You have to take steps, not just to do nothing. I mean, if there's a guy carrying a gun who's going to kill a baby in front of me, you know, I could either vote not do nothing or vote for him or vote for a guy who would stop him. I would vote for the guy. So anyways, that's the end of my call.
Tyler, let me say this. The last thing I'm going to do is argue with you, because that is again, I've told people I would be one issue, and that would be my one issue. You know, I've said it the same in the days of slavery. So I'm the last thing I want to do is argue against, is argue against your position. But let me ask you one thing, Tyler. You clearly have biblical values in terms of morality. You quote Exodus, you quote the words of Jesus, and yet you say you're not a Christian. You don't believe in the inspiration of Scripture. You love this show and respect me. So what are your beliefs? Where are you coming from?
Okay. Well, I come from a conservative Christian background, Pentecostal, charismatic, also Southern Baptist mixed in there. And I went through several bouts of belief and unbelief, but I got really charismatic a few years ago. And as I started reading through the Bible, I mean, I bought all your books. I got all the, you know, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. And you're one of the most thoughtful scholars, and I have one of the highest levels of respect for you. But for me personally, it wasn't compelling. I mean, it seemed like that there were too many objections that were too good. And in my heart of hearts, like I had to release that. So, but I love you personally, and I love the Christian faith. And if I could do anything, if I hit a magic button to make Christianity true, I would, because I think it's the greatest thing that is not true. But yeah, so anyway, that's the background that I'm coming from.
Very interesting. So would you say that you're still on a journey?
Yeah, I mean, I promised my family, you know, my brother, that I would never stop looking at the argument. Now, I believe in God. I believe,
right,
like,
so,
if you look at...
So Tyler, let me just encourage you in this. First, thank you for your honesty, and thank you for your kind words, and thank you for your compelling moral argument, which I'm not going to argue with in no way. Let the listeners hear it and be impacted by it. The only thing I'd encourage you to do, if you haven't done this, is to seek God earnestly. Look, you know I'm into intellectual things. You know I don't shy away from them. But I would really encourage you, if you haven't done it, to really earnestly seek God, by which I mean say, God, I know you're there. I believe in you. Show me the truth. I want to follow you with all my heart. I want to please you. I want my life to have meaning. You've obviously put me here. I didn't create myself. I'm having a hard time believing the Christian faith is true. There's so many objections to the Bible and to Jesus. But I just want to follow you and please you. Would you show me the truth so that I know that I know that I know it? Because ultimately, we are to love God with our heart, soul, and mind, right? So we don't turn it off. But then there are other things, like if you're married, the love you have for your wife is not just based on a computational conclusion that you weighed out the pros with the cons. There's something else going on. And Jeremiah 29:13, Deuteronomy 4:29, Hebrews 11:6, they all say the same thing, that God rewards those who diligently, earnestly seek him. So I'm not saying you haven't done that, but I just want to encourage you to say, God, I've got to know you. I want my life to count. I want to live the way that's going to please you, and that you can put your blessing on, so I can fulfill my mission here on earth. But I've got to know certain things without any possible doubt. And he can do that in you. And then with that, you keep asking good questions, you keep getting good answers, but the perspective changes, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I think that I'll try to do that. And thank you so much for taking my call and just hearing me out. That means a lot.
Oh, you bet. And Tyler, thanks for being open and honest. And I just want to do this. And we've got a break. I want to get back to your other calls on the other side of the break. I trust you recognize why I took some extra time with Tyler here. There's a Jewish woman who's a missionary in Nigeria now. When I met her, she was an Orthodox Jew. She had once believed in Jesus. She became an Orthodox Jew after being pulled away from the faith. And when I met her, she was a very religious Orthodox Jewish woman, but had questions. And we engaged in dialogue on and off for a period of several years. And then my wife, Nancy, said, you know, I really feel like she's looking to man for the answer. Don't talk to her. Don't meet with her. Just encourage her to seek God. And it was painful for me to do, but I knew Nancy was right. And she really did. And she first got back to me and said, okay, I don't have, you know, I don't believe what you believe. End of subject. And then some months later, she said, I know Yeshua is the Messiah. No more questions. And she's been following Jesus for decades now, serves as a missionary in Nigeria, helping the poorest of the poor. And I said, what was it? What was it of all my arguments that turned your heart? She said, it was when you told me I just needed to seek God. So Father, reveal yourself to Tyler.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. The number to call. I've got a question for you. Got a newsletter, email newsletter from a colleague a few days ago. And she said, just her general newsletter being sent out, talk about the elections, talk about as a woman how offended she was by Donald Trump's comments and the allegations against him, nonetheless why she was going to vote for Donald Trump. And she quoted what a friend of hers said, that God can use a Samson more than a Jezebel. God can use a Samson more than a Jezebel. Do you agree with that? In other words, Donald Trump would be like a Samson-type figure with all these extraordinarily obvious rough edges and moral weaknesses, etc. However, he was a man God used, whereas Jezebel was just wicked. And she brought Israel into deeper idolatry and ultimately destruction. God can use a Samson more than a Jezebel. Do you think that is true? And if so, do you think it's relevant to the elections? 866-348-7884. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Russ, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, the question you just asked, I don't believe that that's possible, but all things are possible with God. So in that aspect, God can use anybody to accomplish his will and purposes. I called originally.
Yeah.
When you were expressing that a vote for anybody else is a vote for Hillary, for example, if I vote for Gary Johnson, then I'm voting for Hillary because I'm not voting for Trump. And
Russ, just to clarify for those just tuning in, hang on 1 second. I didn't say that. That's an argument. My argument is that I am urging people not to vote for Hillary. And that if they were going to and don't, that's one less vote for Hillary. But the common argument is if you don't vote for Trump, then you're voting for Hillary. So that's what you're responding to. So back to you.
Right, exactly. Not your words, but that topic.
Yep.
And that topic is playing for a fear vote versus an intelligent, informed vote. And I have a problem with playing on the fear versus making an intelligent choice, you know. So that's all I want to say on that. Your response at the end of that before the commercial break was awesome, and so I'm just letting you know the original reason I called. Then I listened to your talking to the other gentleman about vote for Trump because of the anti-abortion situation.
And again, just for those just tuning in, so I spoke with a young man, Tyler, from Kentucky, who said, look, single issue, pro-life, if, let's say, the Democrats were killing Jews, slaughtering Jews, it was like the days of the Holocaust, and it was Donald Trump versus the Democrat candidate, it doesn't matter what kind of person he is, of course you vote for him because he's going to stand against that. And it's obviously a strong argument that Donald Trump would appoint pro-life justices. From what we know, Hillary Clinton would appoint pro-abortion justices. And therefore, if we sit the election out, if we don't vote for Donald Trump, then we are not standing up for life, which is a strong argument.
Right. And in that aspect, I think you did a fantastic job in the conversation with Tyler. With him, I would also suggest that he check out the Romans Road to Salvation and read parts of John and Ephesians, for it is by grace we are saved. And stuff like that might help him in his journey. I'm ironically currently writing a book about that aspect that he was talking about with struggles with faith and the journey that leads you back to
yeah,
God.
And, yeah, may the Lord bless you in your writing, Russ. Yeah, it was a fascinating call from Tyler, a very sincere young man raised in a Christian home, but believes in God, believes in Christian ethics, but is having a hard time believing the gospel. So I encourage him to seek God above all. Hey, thank you for the kind words, Russ.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Clay in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Brother Michael, how are you?
Hang on. Are you there?
I just would like to reiterate what you said about Brother Tarleton. You know, just seek, because it says in the book of James, you know, that any of us lack wisdom that we need to ask God. And it seems that he has some lingering questions. And I'll be honest with you, just to hear him say what he was saying, what you were saying, God created that for that conversation to happen, for him to be able to talk to you and call in like he did. And, you know, it's no accident. God is the creator of everything.
Yeah.
As for what you're getting people to call in about this election thing, you know, there's so much that people are trying to just delve into. I mean, you know, God created a man and a woman to be together, to create a child. And, you know, then, you know, you're having a person to go and abort the child. You know, God's not, I've told people, because I, you know, go to church and I go to many Bible studies per week, God is not happy when there's division and subtraction. He is extremely happy when there's addition and multiplication into his plan that he has for each of us. That's why it says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29, that God foreknew. I hope and pray Brother Tyler is listening to this, because to be able to foreknow about him calling about this, okay? As for the election thing, I'm not voting for either one of them. I've told people, I said, you know, if Jesus Christ were to be on the ballot, that's who I'm voting for, because that's the most important thing in this world, is that we need to do God's will in regards to the overall situation.
And right, but one thing, just to say this, Clay, we understand that Jesus is our Savior and Lord, and we're living for him, and we preach him, and we make him known, and we want others to follow him. But
yes,
when you go to the dentist, you're not looking for Jesus to be that dentist. When you go to the grocery store, you're not looking for the checkout person to be Jesus. When you when the police officer pulls you over, you're not looking for him to be Jesus. So why would you be looking for the president to be Jesus? Say, well, you vote for him, but you couldn't vote for any of these candidates.
Well, it's not that. I mean, you know, I know that people are you know, really subjected to, you know, the Clinton thing. But, I mean, you know, in the Bible it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. My question is, how can people stand, so many people out there in this world stand to be a part of a person who is lying so much? I mean, you know, I'm a former military man, and, you know, just to know what she had.
Well, is the last person that's going to defend Hillary Clinton. Your reason that you couldn't vote, and I'm not arguing with you if you feel you can't vote for Trump, but what's your reason? I'll give you 1,000 reasons not to vote for Hillary Clinton. We're good on that. But why wouldn't you vote for Donald Trump?
I'm not saying that I'm not voting for either. I'm not saying that I'm voting for him. You know, I would like to see America be where it used to be in regards to the overall situation. I mean, you have to know inside your heart that you cannot go through 4 more years of what has been going on. I mean, there's complete deception.
Okay, I thought you said that you weren't voting for either candidate.
No, well, I mean, maybe I need to clarify that. You know, it's just interesting to me that people are making such a mountain out of a molehill out of what Donald Trump had to say. You know, whatever he did with these women, I don't think he did it. I think it's being brought in to give him a bad name.
Let me just say this. The issues, I think, for most of us are not, did he commit these sexual sins in the past? I don't think that's the big issue. I think the big issue is, what kind of man is he now, and how would he lead the country? Anyway, thank you, sir, for calling 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, I normally don't read the comments that come in to my articles, because we have our articles all over the internet, and sometimes they get very busy with comments and can have hundreds of comments. And then on our social media pages and elsewhere, we have hundreds, thousands of comments. So obviously I don't even try to read them. But I just out of curiosity, I clicked on the comments to my article on the stream, stream.org, which is Christian conservatives be assured that President Hillary Clinton will declare war on you. And I just spotted the top comment, meaning the most recent one, because I happen to sort by newest. And it's from Jack, J-A-Q. The ignorant fear-mongering of this post is unbelievable. Speaking of my article, presidents do not appoint Supreme Court justices. They only nominate. Anyone the president nominates has to be confirmed by Congress. First, yeah, we're all aware of that. We use appoint colloquially. It's widely used. And the understanding would be that Hillary Clinton overall would appoint liberal justices. She'd nominate them, and eventually they'd get through Congress, just like Obama's appointees did. He goes on, many Christians oppose laws that would imprison or put to death LGBT people. Clinton is hardly the only one who has criticized these types of laws. Sir, is it sir or ma'am? Maybe it's ma'am. I can't see the picture. Maybe it's ma'am. But Jack, maybe short for Jacqueline, I guess. That's not the issue here. It's not imprisoning or putting to death LGBT people. Hillary Clinton wants African nations to embrace same-sex, quote, marriage and have pro-homosexual curriculum in the children's schools. To be honest, majority of people are fed up with this type of article. We heard it all before. When Obama was elected, when Clinton was reelected. Seriously, my mom said people were telling her it was the end of American freedoms back when Kennedy was elected. Arguments based on warnings of dooms are old, tired, and ineffectual. You all have been screaming wolf for decades. You still expect us to take you seriously? Jack, wake up. With all respect, I don't know what world you have been sleeping in. First, to be honest, majority of people fed up with this type of article. The article's gone viral, okay? It's here. On the stream site alone, it's been shared 34.8 thousand times since Saturday night, okay? Just on that website alone. Here, on my Facebook page, since it's been posted, oh, let me find it here. On the Facebook page, let's see. Let me get this up to date. And I'll tell you, since we posted it on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, it has reached, oh, I'll tell you in 1 second, it has reached, 445,000 people and been shared another 6,000 times there with 388 comments. That's just on my Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. And on other websites, it's getting a lot of attention. So that's first thing. The second thing is the things we've warned about have happened. There is an ongoing restriction of religious freedoms and liberties under the Obama administration, exactly as we warned years ago, as we detailed in writing years ago. Wake up to reality. So sorry to say your head is in the sand when it comes to these. Yeah, I guess Jack is a woman. But thank you for reading it and weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lynette on Long Island. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown, and thank you so much for taking my call. I pray for you and your staff and your ministries, plural, regularly. So I just praise God for you.
Thank you. I just wanted
to say that I'm so thankful that you're taking all of this time to focus Christians' attention on our responsibility to be actively involved and to pray and to really consider what we're going to do with the election. So what I'm going to do as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian is that I'm voting for a Trump presidency. I say it that way because I don't endorse the person particularly, but I feel that we have to use wisdom and look beyond the personality to see what he's in favor of or what Hillary is in favor of, what they're against, and also make sure that my motive is correct, because I think that what's happened a lot of times in the past is that evangelicals, say, would trust more in a particular candidate, or say, black people, I happen to be African-American woman, would trust more in a particular candidate, and putting more of our trust and our dependency on the person than on God. And
yeah,
I think that is the main reason that God has let us come to this point where, regardless of where we stand, I think everybody realizes that we have, unless God really steps in.
Yeah, and I've got to cut you off. Thank you for praying. We've got a break here. Yeah, yeah. Big, big lesson to learn. If you vote for Donald Trump because of the platform, or vote against Hillary, fine, but don't put your trust in the man. Look to the Lord and the role of the church. Thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for being part of the broadcast today. By the way, according to another report about WikiLeaks, some of the dump of emails from the Hillary Clinton campaign, which should be major, major news, but are being downplayed by the liberal media. Trust me, if these were coming from the Trump campaign, this would be far bigger news than the sex scandals or alleged sex scandals. But according to this report, Houston Chronicle reporting an updated today, Hillary Clinton saw Ted Cruz's Canadian birth as weakness. His birthplace in Canada nearly became a joke for Hillary Clinton's camp early in the presidential election cycle. In emails hacked from Clinton confidant John Podesta and published by WikiLeaks, Clinton's team briefly discussed what to make of Cruz and whether there could be any fun to be had with his background. Now, remember, this is the same campaign that allegedly started the birther rumors with Barack Obama, but in any case has mocked Donald Trump for being part of the whole birther movement. And here, according to this, her own campaign was saying, yeah, look at Cruz being born in Canada, and what could we do with that? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Vernon in Zephyr Hills, Florida. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Brown. Yeah, I wanted to mention, I liked what you said about a Jezebel or a Samson. And I think it's a very good illustration. I think Trump is a Samson. The scripture is very clear in Romans 9 that God he is sovereign in his eternal purpose. When he purposes something, he can call somebody that may be an unrighteous man. Samson wasn't a very righteous man, but Jezebel was an abomination to God. And there's clearly, Hillary Clinton, she supports everything, many things that are abominations to God, the shedding of innocent blood, homosexuality. She supports and sees the world through the eyes of the present day idolatry. So it's very clear that that's a very good illustration. And I mean, Pharaoh was an evil king, but God called him and raised him up to be the most powerful man in the world, to be humbled through Moses so that the whole world would see the one true God. There can be an unrighteous man that God can certainly use for his purpose because he's called of God. And there in Romans 9, it's not talking about who's going to be saved or who's going to be lost. It's talking about who God calls. Anybody follows the context there? God is the potter.
For purposes of service, as opposed there, the primary emphasis on salvation. Yes. Yeah, so listen, when I have people close to Donald Trump speaking into his life on a regular basis, tell me that he's listening. You say, well, where's the fruit? When are we going to see the change? I understand that. But the fact he surrounded himself with godly counsel, the fact that his views have now shifted in certain ways, morally, to strong conservative views, and he wants to be a defender of Christians.
Right.
As incongruous as that is, it's still what happened. And therefore, you'd say, well, I hope those same people surround him if he gets elected. And I would think they would. And then you say, well, has he completely duped Mike Huckabee? Has he completely duped Ben Carson? Has he completely duped James Robinson? Has he completely duped Tony Perkins? I had a discussion about that with a news editor or a columnist in the last 24 hours. Has he duped all these people, or do they see something that many of us don't see? The key thing is, if we vote for him and he is elected, if that does happen, so it's still a long shot right now, but it's a long shot he got this far. If it does happen, then what we have to do is pray as if it was Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton in the White House. In other words, absolutely not put our trust in the man, put our trust in God and what we need to do as the church. As for Hillary Clinton, many of the things she holds to, yes, are abominable. She herself is the sinner for whom Jesus died, so I would not call her an abomination. What she holds to, many of these views are abominable. But, of course, Jesus died for her salvation, and we pray for that. Hey, thank you for the call, Vernon. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Andy in Forney, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I'm excited to talk to you. I called in on the show, I think it was last Thursday. You had asked about people voting, who would you vote for? And as I sat here, I was on the phone waiting to be on, but I never did get to be on. As I sat here, I felt that the Lord showed me that Hillary Clinton did have a Jezebel spirit. So I began to look up things about Jezebel in the Bible. And the thing that struck me the most was in Revelation that that God has this against this church for putting up with her. And I think that almost it's a sin for us to vote for her. It breaks my heart that she is very evil.
Now, why do you – I'm not arguing with you in terms of the – evil nature of some of the things she holds to. And in her mind, she's doing the right thing, the enlightened thing, the progressive thing. And I've urged us to have the love of Christ for her. At the same time, I'm sounding the alarm. Don't vote for her. And as I close my article, Christian conservatives, be assured that President Hillary Clinton will declare war on you. I close that article by saying these words. If you vote for her, you're handing her the tape to gag your mouths and the rope to fasten your hands. So I'm sure they're not one to defend her. Quite the contrary, I want to urge everyone not to vote for her. But in your mind, what makes her policies, her views, she herself so evil?
Because she believes in everything that God is against. She believes in abortion. That's killing babies. She believes in men marrying men and women marrying women and all those things are mentioned in the Word, and we're not supposed to do that. She has a reprobate mind.
Got it. Hey, Andy, thank you for weighing in. All the more reason to pray for God's work in her life and in the family. God's done more unexpected things over the years. But, yeah, I thank you. I will shout from the rooftops, do not vote for Hillary Clinton. And if you can't find your heart to vote for Donald Trump, at least if I can encourage you not to vote for Hillary Clinton, all the better. Well, I was about to give out the number, but we have just a few seconds left on the broadcast, so I won't do that. Friends, make sure you go to the Line of Fire website, thelineoffire.org. Check out my latest articles and videos. Check out the digital library and look at the new videos we've posted. We posted my article with Bill Johnson, which is generating lots of comments, pro and con. My article on your sin, my video on your sin will find you out. Ooh, yeah, worth looking at. All on the website, thelineoffire.org. That's also where you can support us and join our team by clicking donate. My bottom line today, if Donald Trump gets elected, don't think, oh, great, the man God raised up, despite his flaws, is in. Pray hard and be the church. That's what America needs.